Last week, we spent the week in prayer and fasting, and many of you guys participated in that in different ways. I just want to say thank you for everyone who did whatever it is you did, because it really, I just felt Sunday morning when we walked into this place, the Spirit of God was active in a way that was just beyond the norm. And I believe you guys are going to continue to increase that. How many believe that? Amen? And so we're excited about that. And so I would challenge you. Here's tonight's challenge. Tonight, I'm talking about engaging the presence of the Lord. And basically, my thought is this. Seeking the Lord through prayer and fasting doesn't need to be a one-time-a-year thing. It needs to be something we practice ongoing. And so we're going to talk about that this morning, this afternoon. How can we continue to engage the Lord in our time of prayer and fasting and making that a habit? So let's pray over this time together. Father, I thank you for each of our friends and family that are in the room today. We've gathered together with people we love, but we're all together because we love you, and we know that you love us. And we pray that today you'll continue showing that love to us by speaking to our hearts by your Spirit, that you'll show that love to us by continue to speak to us on what how we can become more like you, live lives that pleases you, live lives that share you and empower us to share the gospel with others. I pray that we'll just also yield to everything you're saying to us. And we'll give thanks and praise for that. And everybody said, amen. Let me take a survey real quickly. How many guys in the room, you asked your wife or your significant other, if you're dating, how many guys you asked her out as opposed to she asking you out? Lift your hands if you're a guy and you're the one that did the asking. All right. That number is lower than I ever expected. So let me try it again. Let's see if we just have some non-participators or this is changing my life. How many of you girls are the one, or ladies, you're the ones that did the initiation and you're the one that got this thing going, all right? All right. Some of y'all don't know how you got together. You just, wow. We just woke up one day and we were both at McDonald's at the same time and the rest is history. Well, Here's what I'm getting at tonight. Sometimes we believe that our relationship with God is sort of like some of y'all's relationships. Apparently, the Lord says we're going to show up, and God's going to show up, and we're just going to, you know, whatever. Things are just going to automatically happen. You know, I had a preacher tell me one time. He said, "Greg, the only thing that grows by itself is weeds." And so, if we're not tending to the spiritual garden of our life, so to speak, what's growing inside of us probably isn't good. And so tonight I want to talk about how we can continually grow in the Lord, grow in the things of God, grow in our spirituality and what God wants to do in us by engaging the Spirit on a regular basis. And we know the Lord, obviously, he initiated that process. I mean, how much more he initiated than leaving heaven, come to earth, living a sinless life, dying a sacrificial death, raising again on the third day? You know, what else could he do to initiate? But he has, in some instances, put the ball in our court, so to speak, that now it is up to us to respond to the love and the grace he's shown us. And so, if you want to talk, you're just going to just...
Well, just for a second. I'm just kidding. I did just shush him, but I don't do that very often. I think that's a really good point, because I think that as believers that, you know, we often kind of get into the mindset or the tendency to sit back and wait and expect God to do things. And he's going to do things, but, you know, kind of like just expect God to do his thing. And we're just going to, when he's called us to be seekers,
right,
and to be participants. And I think that, I know God is available to us all the time. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm grateful for that. And that's a truth that I think that we should all grasp and be grateful for. But I think that his availability shouldn't fool us into thinking that he's just going to do it all. I think we can often, you know, just kind of almost take advantage of thinking that he's just going to, God is God, so I'm going to let God do what God does. And he has called us to be active participants in what he's doing. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to do what he's doing without us. He wants to involve us. And so, I think.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, most of us, we think of Paul's experience on the Damascus Road, right? He's minding his own business, not living for the Lord, just doing his own thing. And the Lord showed up, you know, knocked him off his beast and blinded him, and what a life change. And sometimes we think, well, Lord, if you really want him to do something with my life, you could just show up like that in me. And some people think that would even be better if God would just do that to them. But I've discovered most of the people where God shows up uninvited, it's normally not a good thing, right? The message usually is not positive. But when God shows up and gives new revelation to people and does incredible things in their life, it's normally because they've done something to welcome the Lord. And before Megan spoke last Sunday or last Wednesday, I shared this scripture with you, and I want to talk about it tonight. Revelation chapter 1, John the Revelator said, it was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. Suddenly, I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. And every time I've read that scripture my whole entire life, I've always read that scripture that what happened to John on the Isle of Patmos is exactly what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. I thought, well, John was on this island just minding his own business. It just happened to be a regular day of the week. And all of a sudden, the Lord just appeared to him. But that's not what the scripture says. It says that it was the Lord's day, and he was what? He was worshiping. And in the middle of his worship, God showed up with something new for his life. In John chapter 20, after the crucifixion, the Bible says that on a Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting together. And I believe they were doing more than just having tacos, because there's nothing against the law about having tacos. Maybe there should be. But the Bible says they had actually locked the doors because of fear. What causes people getting together to lock the doors? What causes them to lock the doors is they're doing something that would be frowned upon or outlawed in their culture. And what they're doing is they are worshiping the Jesus who's just been crucified. And as they're meeting together, as they're worshiping God and seeking God for the Lord, what is going on? The Bible says that Jesus, through those locked doors, showed up. And in both of these instances, God showed up and they received revelation because they chose to engage the Father despite what was going on. And I just still believe that every time you and I will engage the Father, despite what's going on, God still shows up. Amen?
And I think that God definitely should not be just something that we add to our lives. I believe that he needs to be the foundation of our lives. And I wonder how many times, I kind of talked about this last week a little bit, but how many times we miss out on what God wants to do in our lives because we're waiting for him to make the first move. And he's just waiting for us to make that first move, and how many times that we might miss out on something that he's doing because we've got to make pursuing his presence a priority in our lives.
So we had the week last week. We prayed. Many of you came up here every night, every morning. Some of you are praying at home. You're praying at your lunchtime, praying on your job, all this kind of stuff. We're seeking the Lord and still hearing great things that God did. I had one person tell me that there were some things in my life that I thought I dealt with, but as I sought the Lord showed me. I hadn't really dealt with what I thought I dealt with, but the Lord dealt with it. Amen? Sometimes we just need to get before the Lord and let him really deal with some things in us. But these men, two different times, two different places, experienced more of the Lord than they would have because they chose to engage in the Lord. And today, I just want to, the message of tonight, if you fall asleep or have to leave, your car catches on fire or something, you got to leave. Here's what I want you to remember, is that we must continually engage the Lord. We can't just wait and think, well, when the Lord wants me, he'll tap me on my shoulder. When he wants me to have more of him, he'll let me know. No. If we want more of the Lord, there is a receptivity that we step into when we choose to engage the Father. And so with that said, I want to give you three things on how you and I can engage the Lord and make way for him in a greater way in our life. And here's the first one, is just simply decide not to let anything get in your way of worshiping and seeking the Lord. I want to go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I think it's how King James says it. New Living says, I was worshiping the Lord. John made a decisive decision to worship the Lord when he had plenty of reasons not to worship the Lord. I mean, if you have been poisoned, right, that's what happened to him. If you've been poisoned and survived it, then you might be tempted not to do what got you in trouble in the first place. If someone has come and grabs you and thrown you into a pool of boiling oil, right? That's what happened to John. They threw him into a pool of boiling oil, and there's two different traditions that of eyewitness account. I don't know if one is true or they're both true, but the accounts from those who were eyewitnesses of that day, one account says that when they threw John in, that he laid down, or I'm sorry, he just stood there and eventually walked out completely unscathed. Another tradition says that when they threw him in there, everyone was watching, expecting him to die, but since he didn't die, he started preaching to people. But either way, we know he survived something that he wasn't supposed to be surviving. But if somebody does that to me, I'm not sure if that puts me in the mood to just be worshiping the Lord. Right? Because if my reward for Jesus saving me is now to be exiled on a deserted island. Have you ever seen the movie Castaway? I mean, that's kind of, when I read Revelation, I know there are other people there, but that's sort of the mental image I get, is that he's just on this rocky, stony place by himself. And in this place, with just him and his scribe there to be the church, he's worshiping the Lord. He never let anything keep him from worshiping the Lord. And I would just challenge us tonight as a church, don't let anything keep you from engaging the Lord.
And I think when I read what he went through, you have to recognize his faith. You have to recognize his determination to still desire what God wanted to do in him. And I just, when I look at all of those things, I think to myself, you know, I don't have an excuse as to why I don't have time or I don't make time for God. I don't have an excuse. I'm too tired. You know, that kind of, that doesn't even amount to anything. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. Like, to me, it doesn't seem to cut it when you look at John's life and what he went through. And what I keep thinking is that God wants us to want him.
Yeah.
And he knows that difficult times are going to be difficult. He experienced all of those difficulties when he walked on this. He knows what those difficulties are like. He knows that sometimes we're going to feel overwhelmed by life. He knows that we're going to want to give up. But there's nothing that you are going to face in this life. And you can just look at John's life. There's nothing that you are going to face that God doesn't have the capability and the protection to keep you through it. And I'm so grateful for that. That he is going to keep us through anything we go through. If you think about that, there is nothing that you are going to go through that God cannot and will not keep you through.
Amen. You know, and I'm not sure, about the theological implications. I want to say, Thomas Angel, y'all can help me out here. But I'm not sure that the enemy knows what God is going to do in our lives before he does it, because God's all-knowing, the enemy is not. But we do know that the enemy has a little bit of insight to heaven that we don't have, because he did spend a little bit of time there. So he knows that there's much more glory that God has for us than we know. And I'm pretty much convinced that the devil knows he cannot keep God from pouring out what he wants us to receive. And so he tries to block us from being a place of receiving what God's ready to pour out. Since he can't stop God, he tries to stop us. And I believe one of the ways he stops us from receiving is by getting us so busy, distracted, comfortable, complacent. And so I think one of the reasons John was, boiled alive, while they did try to poison him, while he was exiled out on this island, was because even though the enemy didn't know what God was going to do in his life, he knew the Lord wanted to do something in his life. And I don't believe the Lord is a respecter of person. The enemy may not know what God has planned for your life, but he knows that God has something planned for your life. And so many of the attacks and the distractions and the stuff that comes our way, it's actually evidence that God has something great he's wanting to reveal to us. So let's not stop engaging him to receive whatever it is, amen, that God has for us. And then the second thing. So point number one, is don't let anything stop you from engaging the Lord. As Megan said, we can all get busy. You never get so spiritual or so whatever that you don't have this battle of keeping God's alignment in your life. But the second thing, if you're going to continue to engage the Lord, the second thing that both of these scriptures have in them, both John that we read when the disciples were in the room and Jesus showed up, suddenly he was standing among them. And the same word shows up in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. It was at the Lord's Day, and I was worshiping, and suddenly, would you say that word with me so you'll remember it? Suddenly. Here's the second thing I want you to remember tonight is this. Suddenly doesn't always seem sudden. You ever heard that before? You ever experienced that before? You know, the other day I was in my hometown. I hadn't been there, and when I say the other day, I mean a couple of years ago. The other day I was in my hometown, and at that point I hadn't been there in several years, and I drove through town, and I noticed the college had expanded. They built all these new buildings and new dorms and all the new restaurants in town, and I saw a buddy of mine that still lived there, and I said, man, this place is just blown up. And you know what he said? Well, not really. They built that 8 years ago. They built that 7 years ago. They built that 6 years ago. It seemed suddenly to me because I wasn't there every day when they were driving the nails and pouring the concrete and putting the sign up. It just seemed suddenly to me because I didn't see all that going on. I wonder if some of the things that's in the Word of God where it says suddenly the Lord showed up and did something, perhaps the suddenly wasn't so sudden. It's just that the people of God weren't aware what God was up to. And if y'all don't get with me, I'm about to stand up and preach to you for a few minutes. How many things is God doing in your life that someday you may say was sudden, but it's actually God's been working behind the scenes for a long time to bring that sudden to pass? Suddenly doesn't always seem so sudden. So keep on serving the Lord. You know, some people, and part of it's right, but part of it's kind of funny, you know. Someone came up to me the other day and they said, man, the thing with y'all getting baby Nora, boy, that was sudden, wasn't it? And actually, we got both of our girls kind of suddenly after 12 years of praying and waiting and, Lord, have you forgotten me? There's two, our two girls, both of them represent two suddenlies, but I can tell you there was 12 years where the suddenly didn't seem sudden. And I'm just telling you, if you will keep engaged in the Lord, your suddenly's coming. Amen? Did I steal yours? I'm sorry. So I'm supposed to keep on talking? Well, I was on a roll. I could have just kept on going. So what do you do? All right. Some of you in the room tonight, you say, Pastor, I've been praying. I've been believing. But the suddenly I'm believing for isn't happening so sudden. And if that's you, because let's be honest, we don't know how long John prayed in worship before suddenly showed up. We don't know how long the disciples were in that room before Jesus showed up. We do know on the day of Pentecost, that wasn't so sudden, right? They've been up there for several days. So what do you do when suddenly doesn't seem so sudden? Well, the first thing is simple, real simple. Just keep seeking him. Galatians says, don't be weary in well-doing, but what? To keep on. Because in due season, you might reap a harvest. No, it says you will reap a harvest if you don't faint. So first, just don't faint. Don't give up.
Don't give up. And it seems like to me when you're waiting for the suddenly to happen that sometimes it would be easier to just give up. We felt that way in the 12 years at times, probably more often than either one of us would admit. But, I mean, we felt like it's never going to happen. We're just going to give up and just, you know, I don't know. We just waited and you wait and you wait and you wait. But don't give up. Keep seeking him. His promises are yes and amen. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it.
Amen.
That's his word. If he said it, he'll do it. And we just have to be able to trust. You can trust God. I'm so grateful that we can trust God with our questions.
Yeah.
He is not threatened by your questions. Believe me, I have asked a million of them. In those 12 years that we waited, I asked 10,000 questions. And the thing that he told me was, you know, that you can ask, but sometimes I'm going to give you an answer, sometimes I'm not going to give you an answer. And you have to be, you know, you have to just kind of trust. He said, you have to trust my sovereignty. But, you know, I'm just thankful that we can trust him with our questions. We can trust him with our emotions. We can trust him with everything. And don't stop because it gets hard. Press in. Push past the doubt. Push past the frustration. And if he said it, he will bring it to pass. Mm-hmm. And when it does happen, I'm just going to tell you, I mean, I know every situation is different, but when ours suddenly happened with our girls, those 12 years were nothing. It was just immediately, I told one person one time, if I knew what it was going to be like, I could have waited another 12 years. I could have done it if I knew how awesome it was going to be. And so that when the suddenly happens, a lot of that time of that waiting and that heartache and that pain, there's healing when that suddenly comes. And if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it.
Amen. Amen. So keep seeking him. If you're in a place where you're waiting on suddenly, keep seeking him. Secondly, cling to his promises. You know, Hebrews said, let us hold unwaveringly to the hope, to what we profess and what God has promised us, and then keep expecting. If you're waiting on a suddenly for your life, keep expecting. I said a few minutes ago, Ephesians chapter 3, that God is able to do abundantly above all we could ask, think, or imagine. So let's just ask and expect God to do more than we're asking. What if we change the way we pray and we say, Lord, I'm going to pray this way, but the only way I'm going to recognize is God answering is if it's better than what I asked for. Amen? That's what the Lord's ready to do. More than we could ever ask or think.
And I think sometimes you have to get in the habit of declaring something with your mouth. A lot of times my mouth will come into, like my mouth takes over, and then after I say something long enough, that's when my heart and my spirit kind of starts to come in step with what I'm declaring. So sometimes you have to declare things even when you don't feel it. Like I had to declare in those 12 years, God, you are good. God, you are a provider. God, you do care about the details of our life. You are good and you only do good things. I had to declare those things because sometimes my spirit and my heart that felt crushed and were hurting, I had to declare that with my mouth before. And when I kept declaring it over and over and over, I started to believe it. And so sometimes you have to do that when you are, and that's a part to me of expecting. Amen. In that time.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. And sometimes the word of God we need to hear is the word of God coming out of our own mouth. Yes. Over and over. Yes. Again. And it's not that you're trying to fake something till you make it. No, you're declaring, you are building your faith because you're declaring the word of God. You're not declaring your own words, you're declaring his words. And then the third thing, how am I going to keep engaging the Spirit? Keep believing when suddenly doesn't seem sudden. But then thirdly, just believe that God will show up. I've looked all through Scripture. I kind of did a little bit of searching this week, getting ready for tonight. And I still haven't found a place where God was sought and he wasn't found. Amen. And Jeremiah says that you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. The psalmist said, where can I go to escape your presence? If I go to the mountain, you're there. If I go to the bottom of Hades, you're there as well. One of my favorite stories is shared by Dan Betzer. Many of you know him. He preached Revival Time Radio long, long before I was the age I am now. But anyway, older guy, but one of my favorite preachers. Dan Betzer shares a story about his father-in-law. And when his father-in-law was getting a little older, he really thought, they called him Dad, they really thought he was going crazy. They thought he was going senile or something, because they would take him to the grocery store and he'd be in the middle of the produce aisle and he would just start praising the Lord. He'd just start saying out loud, praise the Lord, hallelujah, we love you, Jesus, out loud. And they didn't think much about it, and then they went on family vacation and they were actually at some theme park where you go down in these caves and you walk around in a cave. And they were in this cave, cram-packed full of people. And all of a sudden, his dad started praise the Lord. Start praising the Lord again. And they thought, man, Dad is really losing it. But then they said years later, they got news that his wife had passed away, and Brother Betzer said, I was the one that had to call and tell him, hey, you know, Mom's gone to be with the Lord. And he said in that moment, his reaction was to praise the Lord and give thanks and honor to Jesus. And later on, Dan asked him, how in the world do you get the strength to praise the Lord? And while we're at it, why on earth have you been declaring the praises of God out loud in the grocery store and in the caves and all these weird places? And he said, well, the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So anytime I find myself in a season or a place where I don't feel his presence, I just begin to worship him. And suddenly, his presence shows up. Suddenly, no matter if I'm in the cave at Disney World or if I'm in the waiting room at the hospital or the mortuary, wherever I worship, God shows up. And how many are you glad to know that every time you engage the Lord, he still shows up? Amen? He shows up.
Look, I mean, that's the truth. He shows up. That's just what he does. There's really not much I can say after that, because to me that is...
So tonight, for our closing prayer, I'm just going to believe God to show up one more time. Amen? So would you just join me by standing across this room? And let's engage him tonight. And I'm just believing that perhaps tonight could be... tonight could be your suddenly. When you get home tonight, it could be your suddenly. In the morning, it could be your suddenly. When you're just engaging the Lord and suddenly what you've been seeking, what the enemy thought he had eradicated, what the promise was that seemed to have been stolen, can show up in your life if you will engage the presence of God.